We hear questions like these all the time. Can TSR injury law help me if I'm hit by a driver with no insurance? Yes. How about if not enough insurance? Yep. If you've been injured, it's TSR time. Call us today for a free consultation at 612-TSR-TIME.
Wake up, put your shoes on, take a breath.
Welcome back to Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider, part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. We're going to get into a lot of NFL issues. Gronk, is he the greatest tight end of all time, and will he come back? Daniel Snyder, Roger Goodell, Deshaun Watson, Marion Barber, Siragusa. There are a lot of interesting and some sad stories going on around the NFL. First thing today, though, let me kind of ask you an open-ended question, Jeff. We know who the stars are for the Vikings. We know who the most important players are, and it always starts with the quarterback. Who are some of the underrated, best, or most important, or key players on the roster right now?
Well, that's really a fascinating question. I think it's an important question because a team has to have depth, as we know, to be able to rise to the top, overcome injuries that occur, and I think if you look at the offensive side of the ball, I wouldn't call Irv Smith Jr. an underrated player, but he hasn't necessarily had the breakout Pro Bowl type season that his talent perhaps indicates. And so I think when you talk about the Vikings skill position people, obviously the focus is on Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook. But I think Irv Smith Jr. is a key guy for this offense, for Kirk Cousins, for Kevin O'Connell. And I expect him to have a big year as long as that knee holds up, which it looked like it will. And I talked to him in minicamp, and he seemed very optimistic and healthy about the season ahead. So I'll go with Irv Smith Jr., and I'll also obviously say not that Garrett Bradbury's an under-the-radar guy. He's not, because he's been kind of a lightning rod, and we talked about him in the past couple of weeks. But just that center-right guard tandem that has been problematic for this team, that is really important that they come on. And whether it's Jesse Davis, whether it's Chris Reed, Ed Ingram, the second-round pick, Wyatt Davis last year's third-round pick, someone's got to emerge at right guard and batten down the hatches there. Because that's been a focal point for defenses to attack the Vikings offensive line. And then Bradbury's got to be better. We know that. So I think those are some of the keys on offense. On defense, we know it's certainly critical that Daniil Hunter and Za'Darius Smith stay healthy and that they're double-digit sack guys. And I think that's the key to the defense being much better than it's been in the past and perhaps helping get the team to the playoffs. And I'll say a couple of other guys, maybe a little more under the radar, but really good players, potentially. Dalvin Tomlinson was a fairly big money signing last year. Didn't have a lot of splash plays. And moving to the 3-4, how will he play? How will Armon Watts, who had 5 sacks last year and limited play, I think he's a on-the-rise young player. And then Harrison Phillips, the nose tackle. So really, all those defensive line guys are really going to be important because the secondary is still a question mark to me. And I really don't necessarily trust Cam Dantzler, Andrew Booth Jr., the second-round pick. He's, I guess you would call him an under-the-radar guy because they need him to step up and be that starting corner opposite Patrick Peterson. As I said, I'm just not sure that you can trust Cam Dantzler and all that Ed Donatell, the defense coordinator, has to do is put on the tape of that Detroit game last year when Dantzler is retreating into the end zone and gives up that winning touchdown. It's, man, that would just spook me if I was the defensive coordinator and think, wow, how can we trust this guy in critical situations? And so hopefully they can coach him up. I think he's got talent. And so maybe you say Cam Dantzler, he might be an under the radar guy too, because he's a guy that's got talent to be a really good player. Another guy, a free agent signing, Shandon Sullivan, to be the slot corner, replacing Mackenzie Alexander. So he's a little bit under the radar too when you look at who are the stars on defense, which are Hunter, Za'Darius Smith, Eric Kendricks, Harrison Smith. And so a guy like Shandon Sullivan, a really important guy, that's slot corner.
Yeah, and two, I think you covered it really well. I'm going to bring up two of the people that intrigue me the most of those you mentioned. Do want to remind people that our sponsors are White Bear Lake Superstore or whitebearlakesuperstore.com and TSR Injury Law, 612-TSR-TIME. Thanks to our producer, Brianne Burdett. Thank you for listening to TalkNorth.com. If you like this show, you'll probably like the Viking Update show as well. We also have like four hockey shows. We have Cheryl Reeve, John Millay, John Krasinski. Great stuff from John Krasinski on the draft this week. And, of course, it will be great again next week. We have tons of outdoor content, and we have variety content. I just recorded an episode with Dave Lee of WCCO fame. He's doing a series on people's first concerts, using that as an avenue to talk about some music and some culture. That was a blast. That'll be out here soon. Everything's at talknorth.com, but we recommend subscribing at your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's easy. You can also just follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod and see the shows as they are released. So two names that really intrigue me, and I'll reframe it now that we've talked about them being kind of key under the radar people. How good could Irv Smith and Dalvin Tomlinson be?
I think that Irv Smith, you mentioned, I think Irv Smith has Pro Bowl talent. And I think that he just has that mix of athleticism and savvy, having played at Alabama. And we've seen some glimpses of that great talent over the last couple of years. And last year he was hurt. So I think he has great upside and can be a Pro Bowl tight end. Tomlinson, I think he's a good player. I don't know that he's an elite player, but I think he's a good player. And as I said, there were a lot of times last year when he really was not noticeable. And that concerns me a little bit. But I think the guy's got talent. And obviously they felt he was a really good player to give him a whatever $10, $11 million a year deal. And then be willing to part with Michael Pierce after last season, Pierce having injury problems. So in my mind, they kind of chose Tomlinson over Pierce, and then knowing that Armon Watts is there to man the other defensive end in the 3-4 and be kind of that big defensive end, kind of a la J.J. Watt, that type of role. So I think that Tomlinson is a really good player potentially, but I think the upside is bigger on Irv Smith Jr.
It's interesting to see the Vikings switching to 3-4 just because the tradition of the Vikings is based as much as anything in great front fours. Obviously, the Purple People Eaters, but then you had so many great defensive linemen through the years, whether it's John Randall or Daniil Hunter or Chris Stolman. Which of the great Vikings defensive linemen would have fit best into a 3-4 scheme over the years?
Oh, I think that Dolman could do anything.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of being a bigger guy and a edge rusher, and he had been a linebacker at Pitt, and so in my mind, and of course John Randall could play anywhere. He's such a good player, but usually they like bigger defensive ends and bigger nose tackles in a 3-4. Randall could certainly have been an edge guy, but to me Dolman would have been a great fit in a 3-4. And I think also Keith Millard could have been that kind of outside defensive end in the 3-4, not necessarily a nose tackle, but an outside guy like J.J. Watt, because Millard was just such a great pass rusher and impact player. And so those are some of the guys. And if you're a great player, you can probably play in any scheme. So that's right. The truth of the matter. And then you look way back and you think about an Alan Page, certainly a Carl Eller, Jim Marshall, those guys, they also could play in any scheme because they're just such great athletes. And impact pass rushers. So you think about the history of the Vikings, and those guys could have played anywhere.
Millard's a fascinating figure. What a great player. Massive guy, massive arms, incredibly well conditioned. Obviously, very, and it seemed like an emotional guy. What was he like for you to deal with as a general manager? Right. And then, you know, I mean, I think you were around him when you were in different guises too. What was he like for you to deal with?
I would say it could be really fun, could be really volatile, could be kind of crazy at times, but had a great personality, loved the game. And to me, that's the thing I think about. I remember when we played the Bears in a preseason game in Sweden, and the bunch of the defensive linemen were out. And as the story goes, Millard and Dan Hampton, the Bears Hall of Fame defensive linemen, were comparing pass rush moves in a bar somewhere in Gothenburg, Sweden. If you can imagine that scene. So, but I think that Keith was a great player, big personality, and probably in a lot of ways like a Siragusa type. Had fun playing, and his nickname was Mal, as in malcontent, as in having some mal intentions when he was on the football field. And so and for me to deal with contract wise and so forth, he was fine. And his agent Frank Bauer became a good friend of mine, really a well-respected agent today. He's still active in the business, represents Davante Adams. So I think Frank did a nice job of also kind of keeping Keith a little bit in check, as did Paul Wigan and some of our defensive line coaches back in the day. And so, yeah, he was a great player. I just remember he and Studwell always, all the banter going on between those guys. It was a lot. They were a lot of fun to be around.
And obviously, Millard and Dolman had a certain rivalry. How much of a rivalry was it, and did it sometimes go in the wrong direction?
I think that was a little overrated. I think they both wanted to win. I think they both took great pride in the profession. There was a little bit of, I don't want to say jealousy necessarily, more competition. And I remember, I think when Keith was named Defensive Player of the Year, and Dole had a big year, and I think he was a little bit miffed by that. Not at Keith personally. I think it was more that he was not chosen for that. But as it went around in the final analysis, of course, Dolman was the one that got in the Hall of Fame, and Millard has not, even though I think he was certainly perhaps worthy in that regard as such an impact player, but maybe not over as long a period as Dolman, which is part of the criteria for the Hall of Fame. So yeah, there was a rivalry a little bit, but it was, I don't think it was a personal, I think it was more professional and competition, and they both wanted to get to the quarterback, but they also both wanted to win. And when we knocked off Joe Montana and the 49ers in the 87 playoffs, those guys were hugging in the locker room and they were so happy, and both had a big part in that particular upset win over the top seeded 49ers.
Yeah, that was a great game. That was a great performance. It was really interesting to be around Millard and Dolman. And I'm really glad Dolman came back the second time, because I got to know him a lot better the second time.
I also remember, Jim, one further Millard story was during the player strike. I think it was the 87 strike, and I just remember him up on the hill at Winter Park as the scab players were practicing, and man, he was just all over those guys, and kind of all over us in management too, screaming at us, and I thought, hey, that's Keith Millard. Passionate guy.
You did not want to be on the wrong side of Keith Millard, no doubt about it. I want to ask you about Sammy White next, but first tell us about White Bear Lake Superstore.
Yeah, the White Bear Lake Superstore, Buick GMC, and I'm always excited to talk about that great dealership. My longtime friend, the owner, Paul Rubin, his general manager, Charlie Gattrell, and their fantastic staff, Minnesota's number one volume. Buick GMC dealer 6 years running with the best selection and with their super friendly premium team. Check out that great website we always talk about, the WhiteBearLakeSuperstore.com, and you'll see 0% APR on most GMC and Buick SUV models, including the stylish Encore GX. And check out the all-new next-generation GMC Sierra 1500 and reserve yours now and explore the GMC Sierra HD. And don't wait. Reserve your all-electric super truck, the Hummer EV. The White Bear Lake Superstore also is the Quigley 4x4 Van Superstore. They are a certified elite dealer. Only 7% of GM dealers make the cut. So visit in person at 3900 Highway 61 North in White Bear Lake or online at WhiteBearLakeSuperstore.com for all your vehicle needs and the premium experience. Buick GMC, we are professional grade.
Thanks, Austin. TSR Injury Law. All you need to know is if you're injured, you're going to need good help, good ethical help, and someone who will win your case. And the great thing is TSR Injury Law won't even charge you unless they win your case. And they expect to win your case. That's how they built their business. They built their business into a just a machine. We've been up in their new offices. It's just impressive what they've done. And again, it's all their success is built on winning cases for people who need their cases won, people in tough situations. Call 612-TSR-TIME, 612-TSR-TIME. All right, tell me what's going on with Sammy White these days.
Well, Sammy White is being inducted this weekend into the Black College Football Hall of Fame. And I'm very happy for Sammy, very excited for him and his family. He's a terrific guy, always nice, humble, very talented wide receiver. And Sammy and I joined the Vikings in the same year, 1976, way back then, and made it to the Super Bowl in our rookie seasons, which just so happened, unfortunately, for the Vikings to be the last Super Bowl season for the team. But he played a lot bigger role than I did back then, since I was a rookie PR guy, assistant PR director to Merrill Swanson. And Sammy was the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year that year as a starting wide receiver alongside Ahmad Rashad, catching passes from Fran Tarkenton. I was kind of funny. I was thinking about the skill position groups and what was the best skill position group of all time for the Vikings. And certainly the current group is up there on the list. When you think about Jefferson, Thielen, Dalvin Cook, Irv Smith Jr., and so forth. And Kirk Cousins, when he's good, and he's still a good quarterback, could be very good. And we'll see if O'Connell can make him better. But you think about that. When I first joined the team, and you've got a Hall of Fame quarterback in Fran Tarkenton, and you got two great receivers in Sammy White and Ahmad Rashad, Chuck Foreman, a terrific running back in the backfield. And so I'd kind of put that skill position group up against any Vikings in history as far as skill position groups. But Sammy White, very happy for him, and former second-round pick, and kind of an interesting tidbit. There's only been three wide receivers in Vikings history to make the Pro Bowl in their first two seasons consecutively. And those three players are Randy Moss, Justin Jefferson, and Sammy White. So he's in good company there too.
That's great stuff. Excellent. Congratulations to Sammy. Let's talk about another very talented pass catcher. Rob Gronkowski announces his retirement, leading to two questions. Is he the greatest tight end of all time? And how soon does he come back?
Well, he probably comes back when Brady calls him and says, I need you. So, which could be in November or whatever. So I'm not convinced that he's done. And yeah, he's not quite as fast as he used to be, but he's still pretty strong and still a very good tight end. Not necessarily at the level of a Kelsey, but he's still a really excellent tight end. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back. But with Gronk, he may just decide he's had enough and he can do enough things off the field with his personality to get commercials and get some whatever entertainment shows. So he may be done this time. I wouldn't be surprised. But is he the greatest tight end of all time? He's up there on the list, and he is a future Hall of Famer. There have been so many really great tight ends, and you think about guys like John Mackey going way back with the Colts, and Tony Gonzalez, and just lots of great players. He's in the mix, let's put it that way. I don't know that he's the greatest of all time, but he's definitely in the mix. And another interesting story, Jim, I did want to kind of touch base on, since we're talking about receivers more or less here, Sammy White, Gronk, I don't know if you noticed the Tyreek Hill comments about Patrick Mahomes this week, which were really bizarre and crazy in my mind. And just as background, Tyreek Hill, of course, signs his $30 million a year deal with Miami and is traded. And all of a sudden, he's taking shots at Patrick Mahomes. I mean, really? The quarterback who made him what he is? And he actually made the comment that he thinks Tua Tagovailoa is a more accurate passer than Mahomes. And Mahomes, who has been to, what, four straight AFC championship games, won a Super Bowl, terrific player. And, I mean, come on, Tyreek. I've never been a big fan of his, as you know. And in fact, I never would have even drafted him with his domestic violence background. But he really comes off as an idiot with these kind of comments about a guy like Mahomes.
Oh, no doubt about it. And listen, I there are things I like about Tua. I was looking up some stats today, and he was probably the most accurate quarterback in the NFL when he had a clean pocket last year. He's very good in the red zone. He is proving to get the ball downfield. That'll be the fascinating thing is, you know, can Tua throw it far enough that he's not underthrowing Tyreek Hill on deep routes? That's what he's going to have to prove. But Tyreek Hill, I mean, for him to play, I just can't imagine a more illogical criticism than from Tyreek Hill, who won a championship with Mahomes, who benefited greatly from playing with Mahomes. And on top of all that, Mahomes is one of the classiest people in sports. I don't get it, other than Tyreek Hill's probably just an idiot.
Yeah, it's just it's an ego trip thing. He wants to get some attention or whatever, and it's just ridiculous. And tarnishes him even more than he's already been tarnished in my mind.
I'm going to go back to the tight ends briefly here. I will say this. I think Gronk is probably the best ever if you combine pass catching ability, ability to make difficult catches, ability to stretch the field, catch, go over the middle, take hits, block, be a dominant blocker, and contribute to a great winning team. He's one of those guys that it's hard to argue against. You know who was great? And there might be an entire generation of NFL fans who know him only as a talking head on a bad TV show. Shannon Sharp was a great, great tight end.
Yeah, he definitely was. He was not the blocker that Gronk is, but he definitely was a very athletic and stretched the field tight end. And yeah, he made a lot of huge plays for John Elway back in the day, no doubt about that.
All right, let's buzz through a little bit of NFL news here. What do you make of the Daniel Snyder congressional hearings and all the things that are going on with that franchise right now?
Yeah, I think with Snyder refusing to appear at the congressional hearing about the Commander's workplace conduct, and then he claiming he's out of the country on team business, and which is certainly he could do a Zoom session as Roger Goodell did with the committee. So he's just ducking it. And then they issue a long letter that was released today from the organization or from Snyder, from Daniel and Tanya Snyder, his wife, the co-owners, to the organization, talking about all the great strides they've made and all the numbers of the 39% of their employees are black and women, second highest in the league, and Ron Rivera talking about the culture change since he was hired, and Snyder talking about the two Snyders talking about that the culture has changed and everything through the NFL investigation and the recommendations from the league and all this and that. And some of that may be true. But the hard thing still is you just can't undo the past when the same owner is there. And so to me, and Roger Goodell made the statement, I can't remove Dan Snyder. And that's true. They need whatever three quarters of the owners to approve such a removal of an owner. And I don't think that will ever happen, because it sets a bad precedent for the other owners that they don't want to be worried about them, about getting removed themselves. And so that's not going to happen. The only thing that could ever happen is if Snyder decides I've had enough and I'm going to cash in and sell this team, which would be great news for the people in Washington. But yeah, I'm not a Dan Snyder fan. And I've told you the story before about I interviewed with him. He never called me back. And just, I think he's just not a good guy. And I think this is part of what is shown by his history and the decisions that he's made and his meddling in the organization. And so I truly believe that as long as he's there, I just don't see the Washington Commanders ever being the elite team that they once were.
Couple more thoughts here. I want to thank again White Bear Lake Superstore and TSR Injury Law and our producer, Brian Burdett. If you'd like to advertise with this show or the Viking Update show as camp nears, you can reach Karen Cleary at KCLEARY at TalkNorth.com. We continue to grow the network, both in number of shows and in listeners. We appreciate everyone who has listened and helped make the network a success. Did you know Tony Siragusa at all?
I had met him during his analyst years after playing, and I wasn't a big fan of Tony when he was playing, because it was during my years with the Titans, and we had our big rivalry with the Ravens, and I thought he was a little bit of a cheap shot player on defense. He'd take a few liberties after the whistle, shall we say, especially in piles. So our people in Tennessee were not big fans of Tony as a player, but as a personality, you could see that, yeah, he was fun loving, that he was a gregarious guy, and having met him really just once, and he was very pleasant when I talked to him that time. So I've got mixed feelings about him, but certainly sad to hear of his passing. That's very sad news for his family, and certainly send our condolences.
No doubt about it. Marion Barber passes way too early. They held a memorial for him at Huntington Bank Stadium the other day. What do you think just about the fact that it feels like so many NFL players end up with some kind of either physical or mental problem after their playing days? We don't know exactly what happened with Marion, but obviously he wasn't in a good place. Does the NFL do enough to help its players?
I think they're trying to do more these days, and the NFLPA trying to do more. I think that generation of players did not have that kind of support, unfortunately. And so you do see too many of these cases. But again, when you think about how many players in the league, whatever, 1,800 players in the league, and there are going to be cases like this, and it's very sad. But I think obviously the vast majority of players are in a good place and taking care of themselves with their mental health, with their physical health. But the game does take a toll physically and mentally on players. We know that. And it's difficult. And I see a lot of friends of mine that are former players that having to have knee reconstructions and shoulder reconstructions and hip replacements and things like that. And yet, if you ask them, would you do it all over again? Of course, they say, yes, absolutely. Because loved being an NFL player, and certainly the financial benefits were good, and pension and all that. And so, yeah, they do it all over again. But it's a hard life when you get older and have some of these injury problems that carry over and can manifest later in life. So it's hard, and I can certainly sympathize with former players in that regard. But as I said, they still would do it all over again, as would players in almost any sport, because when you're an elite athlete, you want to take advantage of your opportunities. But yeah, it's tough to see some of these players that pass way too young.
No doubt about it. Well, hey, let's end the show on a happier note. Give me a good thought. Next week, Jeff and I are going to take the week off. John Krasinski and I will still do the Viking update show to keep things rolling on our Vikings and NFL coverage as the offseason continues. Give me a good thought about the Vikings or the NFL or training camp being around the corner, Jeff.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting time of year for coaches, and they do finally get the time off. And Kevin O'Connell mentioned in his last press conference, he had not had any time off over a year, because he went straight from the Super Bowl parade with the Rams to his new head coaching gig with the Vikings, and was looking forward to spending his break time with his wife and three children. And so, yeah, so that's really a good time for NFL people. And I always enjoyed my limited time in the summer to be able to kind of refresh and recharge, and that's a positive. So I think in that regard, I hope that the players and coaches take some time off. But the other thing is that players cannot afford to get out of shape either. So they've still got to be working out. There's too much at stake for them financially and in terms of winning jobs. It's not like the old days, Jim, when we used to have the players come to camp to get into shape. That doesn't happen anymore. Now you got to come to camp in shape. so you make sure you don't pull a hamstring the first week or do something like that. So yeah, it's vacation time in the NFL, and we'll take a week off next week, which will be nice, and summer and nice weather, and hopefully not get that heat wave we had, but looks like some nice days ahead. So that's a positive.
No doubt about it. Thanks to Jeff, of course, former Vikings general manager, former president of the Tennessee Titans. Thanks again to Brianne. And we'll be back first week of July to update you on Vikings news heading into training camp.